It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I think we're going to have a real humdinger.
You are out of your damn little pea-sized mind. Everybody say it. I'm fat.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We appreciate everybody calling. Everybody's talking about gas prices right now. We've struck a nerve, as it were.
Clearly.
We're going to talk to Patty Starr, Ghost Hunter, in just a second. Let me just get rid of this guy right here. He's been waiting a long time. Mickey from Rockville, Maryland. Mickey, what can we do for you?
I'm just calling because one of the, you said you got an IM message that if you just don't buy it from one distributor or one gas company, you're going to hurt them.
That's what Buzz said, yeah.
The idea was to rotate it. You'd pick on one gas company for a week or a month, and then you go to the next one and the next one and the next one so that they all got hit.
It's a great idea on paper, but the only problem with that is that all the gas companies, basically, they don't necessarily work it together as the way they designed it. But, for example, if, say you ban going to ExxonMobil. Okay, you don't go to ExxonMobil, and instead you go to, I don't know, Citgo or somewhere and get all
your
gas.
Real quick, Mickey, we got a guest standing by, so real quick, please.
Okay. If you just get it from Citgo and you run down the supply at Citgo, Citgo's just going to go right back to ExxonMobil and buy the supply from ExxonMobil since nobody's buying there, so they're still selling the gas.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, we got to do something. Don't you agree, Mickey? I mean, really, at some point, consumers do have to flex their muscle a little bit. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, they got everybody by the short hairs.
They do. I appreciate the call.
I wonder if Mickey's always been that much fun.
Might be an oil lobbyist. You know? You got to remember where you are, gentlemen.
Yeah, a lot of lobbyists called Mickey. A
lot of people with big houses on Fox Hall Road around here, you know, that work for big oil.
Earl.
But that's neither here nor there because we got to talk ghosts right now. Let's welcome this lady. She is, I think, really the foremost ghost hunter in the United States. Let's welcome Patty Starr. Patty!
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I am really excited to talk to you. I have a lot of personal questions regarding ghosts because I've spent a lot of my life in very, very old houses. But, you know, I'm going to start with how do you get to be a ghost hunter? And you've been doing it for 30 years, right?
Well, yeah, things started for me when I was very young. And, of course, like a lot of us, I saw things. I felt like there were things under my bed and things in my closet. And I would address this fear with my parents. And you know, they would tell me that it was my imagination, that it was that I was probably dreaming, that type of thing. And because we were very strong within Baptist religion, they, you know, in comforting me, they would say, now, honey, you know that there's no such thing as ghosts, and you know that this is probably your imagination, and for God's sake, don't tell the preacher.
Don't tell that preacher. My God, tell that preacher.
Oh, please don't. And so,
peace be with you.
As I got older, though, I realized it was not my imagination. And as a child, I was more of a loner, and I couldn't tell everybody what I experienced because I got a lot of negative, a lot of negative response to it. Like today, I can tell people I'm a ghost hunter, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's so way cool, you know. But
well, not only are you a ghost hunter, Patty, but you're like a conglomerate. My God, I mean, you got that business down in Lexington, Kentucky, and I see you on TV. You've been on that show, Paranormal State, right, where the kids go out and look for ghosts, and that always reminds me of kind of like that movie, The Blair Witch Project, where they're going out there and trying to find ghosts all the time. Is there any, and I'm not talking about regions of the country now, I'm talking about like in homes, where do ghosts, in your experience, and I kind of believe there might be ghosts.
We want to believe.
Where do they hang out, like in a house? Where do you find ghosts most commonly are manifesting themselves when people seek out your services?
Mostly, they manifest themselves wherever the family is. If the family spends a lot of time in the kitchen, then they're going to show themselves in the kitchen. If the family spends a lot of time in the living room, usually they just hang out where people are. A lot of people think they're in the attic or in the basement.
That's what I would think.
And I'm not. You know, well, that's not necessarily the case. Mm. Most for myself. And when people ask me questions, I can only answer it through my own experience. I'm not saying it's the law or
right.
absolute.
No rules but when it comes to ghosts, right?
Right, absolutely.
Patty,
it is not.
Let me ask you a question that harkens back to there's no hard and fast rules and also you growing up. My daughter is 7. She's exceptionally bright and not prone really to a lot of imaginary things. But since my wife's mother passed away last fall, Julia has been prone to saying, I feel Mimi is her mother, or my wife's mother. She says, I feel her. I know that she's touched me.
Wow.
I feel her at times. How have you, you know, having been there as a youth, how should we handle that as parents?
Good question.
For myself, I would encourage you to let her know that that's normal instead of frightening her and, you know, resigning that it is just probably her imagination or her part of her grief. But basically, I try to encourage that, not in a way to where it's overboard, but in a way where you listen and you're very compassionate and you ask questions like, well, have you ever seen her? And if she has, what was it like? You know, get some clear answers on what's happening with her and just make her feel very confident that that's okay. And what will happen is a lot of times you can nurture that, and as they get older, they really develop a great talent for it.
Wow. Cool. Our ghosts, Patty, and I will ask all of these questions the way you framed it. With your experience, are ghosts mostly seen in your experience, heard, or maybe even in some cases smelled? But really, mostly, are they seen or heard? I mean, encounter more often?
Well, that totally depends on the individual. Some of us are more kinetic, which would involve feeling. Some of us are in touching. Some of us are very visual, so therefore we would probably be the ones apt to see. There are some of us that are very audible, so we may hear. Like when we go into a home and I interview a whole family, the father may say, well, you know, I've seen it, but now my wife's heard it, and my little girl has been touched by it. That's never happened to me. Mm. And, you know, then the wife says, oh, yes, I've seen it walk down the hallway. And the little girl says, well, I've never heard it or seen it, but I felt it touch me. So it really depends on the individual and what type of psychic ability they have. Because as far as I'm concerned, we all have psychic ability.
Can you tell just by talking to somebody whether they would have a legitimate paranormal issue? Have you done enough of these things where you can tell just by a phone conversation where they might have a legitimate gripe?
Sometimes, but most of the times I feel a lot better after I speak with someone and they tell me what's going on. I like to bring in the equipment. I like to look at the home, the environment.
What kind
around
of equipment?
The home.
Yeah. What kind of equipment are we talking about here?
Well, I have ELS meters. I have EMS meters. These are meters that we bring in to...
What is an ELS meter?
ELF is extremely low frequencies of magnetic fields.
Oh, ELF,
ELF.
Right, and EMF meters, of course, electromagnetic fields. And we want to see if there's any type of disturbances in that as well. And, of course, we bring in infrared thermometers to see if we can pick up any drastic either rises or drops in temperature. And then we bring in our audio equipment, which we will actually start to converse with the spirits. And the spirits are very, very... cooperative. They will work with us. We will ask them. We'll say, we just need to prove that you exist. Can you tell us who you are? Can you give us the name? Now, this does not happen at every ghost investigation, but it does happen enough to where we have produced a method to our madness, as you would say. So we do go in with certain steps and standards that we do to see if maybe we can verify some of the evidence. Like I say, there's no absolute proof that there are ghosts, but we do gather a lot of very convincing evidence.
You know, when I watch the some of these shows on the different networks, and you see, you know, you set up the equipment, and then somebody will see like a bright light, and it really never amounts to much more than that. I'm curious, in the 30 years that you've been doing this, what is the scariest experience you've ever had?
You know, you may not ever even believe this, but I really, really don't ever have scary experiences. And I think it only comes because I've learned how to deal with the spirit world. I have, in all my years of doing this, I have never run into anything evil or demonic. Now, that's not to say it doesn't exist.
Okay, well, that sort of leads me to my next question. I mean, so you've never run into anything evil or demonic. Do you think are there the Casper, the friendly ghost types, or do we have the ghost like you would see in Poltergeist? Or you know, as what it's called, a poltergeist, where somebody, something wants a family out of there. Have you ever had that kind of experience?
Yes. We do run into mean and hateful and spiteful, but I don't run into the evil and the demonic as much. We really, a lot of times, will totally dispel. We'll go in where someone thinks there is evil and demonic, and we just find out that they just have a very angry ghost there. And once we suffice that, you know what? It makes it very difficult to even go in and clean up afterwards. So it's best to get in there when things just kind of get started so that you can educate your family, help them to understand what's going on. You may have a child there that is very psychokinesis, and they're just really creating movement with just their own brain waves and not realizing it. Sometimes
do you compare,
it's not paranormal.
Patty, do you compare to a – how do you compare to a medium? You're not a medium, obviously, right? You're just a ghost hunter.
I do not compare myself as a medium. I've been told that I could, by other mediums that I am, but I don't go into it on that level. I basically just go in to find out what's there and if we can help them.
What about in the Washington, D.C. area? We've got so many Civil War battlefields around here. I went up to Gettysburg with my kids, and there's a whole culture up there of ghost
right.
chasing,
sure.
where ghost hunting. Right. Has it been your experience where there is a tremendous scene of carnage, as there was with Gettysburg, that you might have more paranormal activity where there was a scene
like
of massive destruction and death?
Oh, absolutely. You can go into towns where maybe there was a mass flooding, or maybe there was a fire where, you know, a lot of people were killed. Sometimes you have a whole block of homes that may be affected by spirit activity, and it does have something to do maybe along with, like, mass death, you know, like cholera or something of that nature. And you can also have other reasons why you go into an area, a town. Sometimes towns are built on top of caves and caverns, and that is very conducive. That kind of energy is very conducive to support energy. River towns are very ghostly because of the river and the energy that they can gain from that. Railroad tracks, living across from railroad tracks, living next to a cemetery, houses next to a cemetery. So there is a lot of times where you can go into an area and you'll have streets of houses that are all haunted.
Now, what do you say, Patty, when somebody, you know, obviously you make a you make your living doing this. Do you think that affects your credibility? I mean, I have had experiences where, you know, first of all, I feel the same way about UFOs that I do about ghosts. I think we'd be very arrogant to think that there might not be another level where there are things hanging around. But what do you do when you're confronted with a person saying, hey, I think this is a bunch of crap, I don't believe you. Is there anything you say to those people, like an experience or, a catchphrase that you have for people that question your credibility?
When they question it, you know what, I encourage anybody to be very skeptic at this point. And if you've never seen a ghost, if you've never had a feeling, it's very difficult for you to either be interested or either have any belief in it at all. So I respect that. And I don't try to convince them. I don't try to convert them in any way, shape, or form. If they are curious, and why I believe in ghosts, I am glad to share that with them. I'm glad to play those voices that I've gotten, show them videos where things are crawling down halls.
Well, there are a lot of people that want to talk to you about this, Patty. Would you take some calls from our audience?
Well, sure.
All right, let's get some calls on the air for Patty, because a lot of people want to talk to her about this. I believe in ghosts. I think I've had some experiences.
Patty, you talk about you take a thermometer in when you do your investigation.
Is that an oral or a rectal thermometer?
Oh, my gosh. That's called a digital.
And I don't know anyone who hasn't taken a chill in a creepy situation. What's the biggest fluctuation you've seen in temperature in one of those investigations?
I think for me, the lowest chill was 19 degrees. And then the highest temperature was around me at one time, and I knew there was something around me. They did not put the gun on me because, of course, you know, it's going to register my body temperature.
Right.
But they just went around me, and it was 125.
Scared, kids. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Jim in Spokane, you're on with Patty Starr, Ghost Hunter. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Patty. Can a ghost travel with a host family, like from the house they live in to another house, or...
God, that's a scary question,
cool
Jim.
Question.
Yeah, it's like
that
Topper.
That is a good question, and a lot of times when people move into places, and then they move to another place, and then they move on to another place, sometimes there's one or two things happening. Either that particular entity is following them because they find comfort, or either that particular family, there's family members in that family, are what I call haunted. I'm a haunted person. No matter where I go, I will be in a haunted situation, and I didn't realize
we have a general manager here, Michael Hughes, that's a haunted person.
I thought he was a haunter.
I was looking at his haunted eyes today. Let's go to Mitch in Charles County.
Ooh.
Michael Hughes, haunted eyes. Mitch, you're on with Patty Starr. Go ahead.
Hey, Patty, how are you?
Oh, hi, Mitch. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Great. Hey, I live in a house. I've been there since 2000, And there's always, well, we've taken several pictures. One picture we had at least 15 orbs in the picture. None of that really scared us. We always felt there were multiple entities there. Well, I guess about a year ago, I was on the couch and I dozed off. And I felt this, I woke up to this pressure on my back. It was on my stomach. And it was pushing down, pushing down. It was almost like an electric current. But my whole body was locked up and froze. Could not move.
I had that happen to me one time when Buzz and I went on a camping trip together.
I remember.
And it was actually Buzz jumping on me with his sleeping bag.
I had no absinthe.
No absinthe at all. So you really thought you had a ghost, huh?
Oh, it happened to my wife about 8 months prior to that, and we just thought she was crazy. We teased her.
You know, Mitch, I've heard that. I've heard that from other. Go, hold on a second. I've heard that from other people that people had that feeling of being held down.
Wow.
You hear that a lot, don't you, Patty? With people that have ghostly experiences.
Right. And what I do is there's symptoms. Now you said, Mitch, you said you were sleeping on your stomach and they were sitting on your back.
Yeah, it was a pressure on my back pushing.
All right. Well, a lot of times, most of the time, if
knock it off.
If they say they're sleeping on their back and something came and compressed their chest, then we call that a sleep paralysis, and it really has nothing to do with ghosts.
Oh.
But if you were already laying on your stomach and something came and put pressure on your back, then I would maybe suspect that might be a little more paranormal than something to do with the sleep paralysis.
Hey, Mitch.
Yes, sir. All right, Rob, what you got?
I was just curious, has there ever been the murder of a chiropractor in your house?
I wish I could.
Thanks for calling, Mitch. We appreciate that. I felt a strange pressure, I think, Monday night. But it had nothing to do with the ghost.
I felt it all day yesterday.
Still waiting for that story.
My haunted colon.
Man, Patty, people are going nuts for you.
Sure.
You get that when you go, oh, my God, this is incredible. Tim from Rochester, you're on with Patty Starr.
Hi, Patty, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. I have a question. I had some damage at my house, and I had to take pictures. I showed pictures to a friend. She said, oh, you have orbs.
Uh-huh.
And I was just curious, would that be somebody from previously living in the house, or would it be somebody or a ghost that knows me, and I know
ghosts are very, right now it's a very, this orb situation is very controversial in the ghost hunting community. A lot of times when you take photos, you have to be very careful because there's so many contaminants in the air that sometimes that flash will reflect back a perfect sphere looking like an orb. And sometimes people get those confused with spirit orbs. It can be caused from dust, moisture, just bugs, small gnat-type bugs in the air. So a lot of times when people send me a photo of an orb and says, is this ghost? Uh-huh. Is it from my family, you know, is it attached to the house or whatever? It's very difficult for me to, at that point, come to a conclusion that you have ghosts in your home. I would feel better if I was there and I had different equipment going off. I had my video and audio machines going and therefore picking up voices and video. And also, when I start addressing spirits there in the room, and I will ask them to appear in a certain location over, say, someone's head or in someone's hand, if I can get that type of cooperation, then I might suspect that the orbs that are forming in our photos at that point in time may be spirit orbs. But it's very difficult just to take a picture and automatically assume that there are ghosts and spirits.
All right, Patty, we're going to get a couple more here. God, I wish you could stay for another.
Thank you.
Can you stay for another segment? I got like 300 calls that want to talk to you. How is your time commitment?
No, I'm fine. Go ahead.
Oh, you could. Okay.
Oh,
all right. Well, let's do this. We're going to take a quick break right now. And I want to thank everybody for the calls. We got Patty Starr. Patty will keep you on hold, and because I just want to get some of these calls from everybody wants to ask about their houses and Ouija boards and a daughter who's like Julia and a ghost experience. There are a million people. Patty, we're going to hang on with you through the break, and we'll talk more about ghosts when we come back. I really appreciate that, okay?
No problem.
Thanks a lot.
We can address that. Then they feel better, and, you know, everybody else.
Right back with Patty Starr, Ghost Hunter, on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah, because a lot of the fear, you have to be careful, too. A lot of people get caught up in the drama, and they get caught up in the fear. And consciously, they don't want that. They are in their home. But subconsciously, they do make some type of attack.